Welcome to our growth summary of Who Not How by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy. So this book teaches that success isn't just about working harder, it's about finding the right people to do things for you. That means when you face a challenge, instead of asking, how do I solve this, you should ask, who can help me solve this? So let's jump right in. Lesson one is shift from how to who. Stop doing everything yourself and start finding the right people to help you win. Let me tell you why most people stay stuck. They're asking the wrong question. You see, when most people face a challenge, they automatically think, how do I solve this? They roll up their sleeves and start looking for tutorials, tools, and strategies. That feels productive at first, but you know what it usually leads to? Overwhelm, procrastination, and painfully slow progress. A smarter question is who? So this is what Dan Sullivan is saying, that there's a smarter question that we should ask, not how do I solve this challenge, but who can help me solve this? That one small shift from how to who is the most important idea in this whole book. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. The truth is, trying to do everything yourself makes you the bottleneck. You don't grow your business by becoming better at everything. You do it by finding people who are already better than you at the thing you need done. Greatness is a team effort. Most people stay stuck not because they're lazy or untalented, but because they're asking that wrong question. How, not who. And it's not your fault. Our society pushes this false idea that achievement is an individual effort. But the truth is, we only reach our full potential in relationship to the right people. Just look at Michael Jordan. Best basketball player alive. But what most people don't know is he didn't win a single championship his first 6 years in the NBA. And that's not because he wasn't a legend already, but because he didn't have the right who's around him yet. It wasn't until Scottie Pippen joined the team, that Tim Grover was his trainer, and especially Phil Jackson stepped in as head coach, that his team, the Chicago Bulls, became unstoppable, winning 6 championships in a short time. So even Michael Jordan's greatness could only come to life in relationship to the right people. It was about who, not how. Same goes for Steve Jobs. I'm going to connect this to another book here. Steve Jobs is often mistakenly seen as a lone genius behind Apple's success. But he said this himself, quote, "Great things in business are never done by one person. They're done by a team of people," end quote. Now, many of us know that Steve Jobs wasn't a great coder or engineer, but what he was brilliant at was coming up with a vision and then getting the right people to make it a reality. So his success was all about finding the right who's to execute his what. And you can read more about his life and business ideas in our summary of Steve Jobs by Walter Isaacson. That's a great biography. But let's get back to who, not how. Even this book exists thanks to asking the right question, who? I think this is the best example. Dan Sullivan is the guy who came up with the ideas inside this book. But he did not write a word of it. You see, Dan's company is called Strategic Coach, and he's trained over 20,000 entrepreneurs. He clearly knows what he's talking about, but he didn't have the time or energy to write a book right now. So, Dan asked, who can help me write a book? And he found Dr. Benjamin Hardy, who's a star writer that has now published multiple books. So with Dan's ideas and Hardy's writing, the end result they created here is so much better than either of them could have done individually. So this idea is not just a theory, it's the whole reason this book exists. Now let's summarize lesson one. If you're stuck, it's probably because you're asking how. The better question is, who can help me solve this? You don't win alone, you win with the right people. Life is a team sport, even for great entrepreneurs like Steve Jobs and Dan Sullivan and even Michael Jordan. Now we have lesson two, let go of control. You don't need to know how to do most things, you just need to know what you need to get done and then find the right who to do it. Most business owners are control freaks and it's ruining your potential. They think, if I don't do it myself, it won't be done right. So they cling to every little task, every step, every detail. And guess what? That's why they stay stuck, small, and exhausted. Here's the truth. You don't need to know how to do everything. You just need to know what end result you want, and then find someone who already knows how to do that, how to get you there. And when you trust someone else to handle the how, then you free up your time, your brain, and your energy to focus on what matters more, which is vision, strategy, and results. As a result, you move faster, you think bigger, you get out of your own way. Even the pros let go. Michael Crichton is the author of Jurassic Park, one of the best-selling novels of all time. But he once said that only about 10% of his books make it onto the movies. And for him, that's okay, because he's a novelist, not a screenwriter. So he focuses on what he does best, which is writing great books, and lets Hollywood adapt them however they see fit. Because when Spielberg releases Jurassic Park the movie, it causes a huge upswing in his book sales. So he's not worried about controlling every detail, he's focused on making the largest impact, and that means letting the other pros do what they do best. Now here's a real-life example of this in action. Sharon Duncan was working insane hours as an entrepreneur, and she had no time for herself, and she wanted to spend more time with her 82-year-old mom, because she knew her mom wouldn't be around forever. And then she heard of Dan Sullivan's idea of building a self-managing company. A self-managing company means you let go and you stop telling people how to do things. Instead, you define the outcome and you give them permission to take full ownership of how they achieve that outcome. So she decided to test this out. She hired a practice manager and gave them some of her responsibilities. And guess what happened? Immediately, she freed up about 500 hours a year. That's not a typo. And the best part? The work was all the stuff she didn't really want to do anyway, and she was amazed by how easy it turned out to be. She wished she had done it years ago. With all that time back, she started going to baseball games with her mom, which her mom really loved to do. Her stress dropped. Her creativity exploded. After all, experts say only about 16% of our best creative ideas come while we're actually working. Most of the time, we're struck by inspiration while we're doing something else, like taking a shower or riding a bike. It turns out the more room Sharon had to breathe, the more valuable her thinking became. And that only happened because she found a who instead of thinking, how can I do things faster or better? Now, I'll connect this to another great entrepreneur. Phil Knight is the founder of Nike. How did this skinny runner from Portland go from selling shoes out of the back of his car to building the most valuable clothing brand in the world? Here's how. By not doing everything himself. His mantra while he was growing Nike was this quote, borrowed from legendary General George S. Patton. He said, "Don't tell people how to do things, tell them what to do, and let them surprise you with their results." End quote. So you can read more about his story and how Nike grew in our summary of Shoe Dog by Phil Knight. Now let's summarize this lesson. Let go of control, focus on the what, trust others with the how. You're not a hero for doing everything yourself. You're a genius if you know who to call. The fastest way to grow is by working through others, not by doing more yourself. Your life can change when you stop going solo and start building with the right who's. And now lesson 3. 10x your goals by asking who. Getting other people involved multiplies your capabilities and makes you more deeply committed to your goals. Here's something nobody tells you when you're trying to achieve big goals. You don't 10x your life by working 10 times harder. You 10x your results by finding the right people to help you pull it off. If your goals are small, sure, maybe you can hustle your way there. But the second you aim higher, you hit a wall. Time, energy, burnout, life, it all catches up. So the solution isn't more effort, it's more who's. So you expand through relationships, and you get better results when other people are involved. This doesn't just apply to business. It's your friends, mentors, spouse, team, family. Anyone who brings energy, direction, or expertise into your life becomes a kind of expansion pack for your potential. Think about hiring a personal trainer. It's so much more powerful than just signing up for a gym. Why? Because now you've got accountability, you've got support, you've got someone else invested in your success. That one relationship is often the difference between quitting after 2 weeks or actually showing up and transforming. Doctors Arthur and Elaine Aron, both psychologists and researchers, they came up with something called the self-expansion model. Here's the short version. You grow not just through your own skills, but by forming relationships with others. Because when you team up with people, you gain access to their knowledge, energy, and resources. You literally expand what you can accomplish through connection. And the end result is better when you include others. Dan Sullivan used to sit on his ideas for months. He'd tinker, tweak, polish behind closed doors, thinking he'd get the perfect version out of the way. But over the years, he realized something critical, that his ideas got 10 times better when he shared them early on with people who could help him shape them. Less ego, more impact. Dr. Robert Kagan, a developmental psychologist, talks about a powerful shift that happens as we grow. We move from being the authoring self, which is doing everything alone, our own way, to the transforming self, which is working through others, taking into account their contributions. In other words, real maturity isn't doing it all, it's including others so you can do more together and get a better end result. What's a translation here? Stop trying to be the lone genius and start building with people who will actually make you better. So that's what this book really offers. The who, not how mindset isn't just about being more productive. It's about transforming your life. Here's what the book is promising. 1, more time to do what matters. 2, more money by focusing on higher value work. 3, better relationships, which are built on trust and collaboration. And 4, a deeper sense of purpose because you're not doing everything alone. Now, I'm going to connect this to another book. Now, one of the best books on how to create systems and order in your business is called Traction by Gino Wickman. And he says that you want to give your people, your employees, trust, but you also want to give them accountability. How? He says you must, quote, keep a pulse on your operations by watching and managing a handful of numbers on a weekly basis, end quote. So that's kind of the other side of the coin. You don't want to micromanage people by telling them how to do their job, but you do want to hold them accountable to make sure they're getting the right result. And you can read more about that in our summary of Traction by Gino Wickman on Growth Summary. Now, let's summarize this lesson. Your capacity to achieve big things grows with every who you bring in. 10x isn't about doing more or working harder. It's about letting go, teaming up, and thinking bigger. With more of the right people around you, your effectiveness expands because you gain access to all those other people's knowledge, skills, and experience. That brings us to lesson 4. Clarity defeats procrastination. When you're stuck, get clear on exactly what you want using this one-page vision sheet, then find who can make it happen. So let's talk about procrastination. It's not just a bad habit, it's a silent dream killer. About 90% of college students admit they procrastinate chronically. And it's not just students nowadays. With phones buzzing and distractions everywhere, more and more people are stuck spinning their wheels. And the longer you stay stuck, the worse it gets. Your confidence drops, your motivation may disappear, and your vision of the future starts shrinking. Procrastination makes you feel like you're falling behind in life. But here's how we can turn procrastination into our greatest strength. What if procrastination is actually a signal? This is a wild idea from Who Not How. Procrastination isn't always laziness. It might be wisdom. It might be a signal, like your brain's telling you, hey, this task, it needs to get done, but you're not the right person for it. In other words, it's a sign to stop asking, how can I get this done? And start asking, who can help me get this done or do this for me? The cure for feeling stuck is this one-page vision sheet. Before you can find your who, you need to get really clear on your what, your end result. That's where Dan Sullivan's impact filter comes in. It's a one-page sheet that makes you think through your goal or vision before you hand it off to someone else. So this is all about asking a few questions, like, what is the project? Why is it important? What does success look like? What's the best case outcome if we succeed? What's the worst case outcome if we fail? This is a simple but powerful exercise. It creates clarity and commitment. So when you do bring in a who, you're not just going to be rambling off the top of your head. You're actually handing them a clear mission of what to do. And that's exactly what Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy do whenever they need to hire or collaborate with someone new. They fill out this one-page sheet, and they get the other person to do it too. Why does clarity attract the right people? Your brain is actually always filtering the world for what matters to you. It's called selective attention. And when your vision is vague and fuzzy, you won't even notice the right who's when they show up in your life. But once you clearly define what you want, why it matters, and who you're looking for, then your mind starts spotting those opportunities and the right people like a radar system. It's kind of like when you get a new car, and suddenly you can't help seeing that car everywhere. It's not the cars in the world that have changed, but it's your mind that's now trained to notice that car everywhere. Here's a real-world story of clarity overcoming challenge. Paul Heiss runs a manufacturing company that creates aluminum parts for big names like Caterpillar, the construction equipment company. Now in 2018, new tariffs from the US government hit China, and his raw material costs shot up 25% overnight. And that meant their long-term plan to maybe someday build a factory in India, well, that suddenly had to happen now. At first, he asked the obvious question, which is, how do I even start a factory in India? Total overwhelm. Then he remembered Dan Sullivan's advice and flipped the question to, who can help me start a factory in India? He filled out an impact filter describing his ideal person. That would be a local Indian with manufacturing and international experience. And then he asked again, "Who can help me find this person?" The answer? The Indian Consul General. So, he reached out and got referrals and found the right people fast. As a result, his India operation was live in 5 months, and within 18 months, 25% of the company's revenue was coming from India. More than that, his confidence in what was possible exploded. He felt like he could do anything by asking the right question. That is, not how, but who. Here's a strategy to make this happen for you. Check in every 90 days. So every big project that we have can feel overwhelming. So Dan Sullivan recommends breaking them down into 90-day chunks. That means every quarter, ask yourself, what are my most important goals for this in the next 90 days? And then, here's more important, don't ask how do I accomplish those, but who do I need to help me make those goals happen? This mindset resets your focus every 90 days on finding the right who's, not stuck in your head wondering how you'll be able to learn to do it all. Now here's a summary of this lesson. Procrastination is often a sign you need to find a who, not a new productivity hack. Use the impact filter, that one-page vision sheet, to get clear on what you need, and then rally others around it. So write down what your project is, why it matters, what success looks like, and the consequences of success and failure. Every 90 days, revisit your biggest goals and recommit to asking who, not how. And now lesson 5. Not delegating is costing you. Hiring a who is not a cost, but an investment that frees up your time for higher value activities. Let's get something straight. Doing everything yourself isn't heroic, it's actually expensive. Because every time you say, "I'll just handle it," you're paying a hidden tax. Not just in your time, but also in your energy, focus, and momentum. And that tax adds up fast. You see, as entrepreneurs, we don't get paid for being busy, we get paid for getting results. And the only way to consistently deliver big results is to protect your time, and to spend it on the stuff that actually moves the needle. So, instead of asking, "How can I accomplish this faster?" we should start asking, "Who can take this off my plate completely?" And that's when things start to shift. Your time has a price tag. Your most valuable resource isn't your money, it's your attention. And attention is limited. Psychologists call it decision fatigue. Your brain only has so much fuel each day. And if you use it all on low-level tasks like checking your email, running errands, figuring out how to fix your website, then by the time you get to the important stuff, you're drained. So if you want to grow, you have to protect your attention like gold. That means spending more time in your zone of genius, doing the stuff only you can do in your business, and finding others to handle the rest of it. So delegation isn't a cost, it's a growth strategy. This is the mindset shift. Hiring someone to take over a task isn't a waste of money, it's an investment that can multiply your results. Every time you invest in a who, that's someone who frees up your time, and so you gain more energy, focus, and creative bandwidth. And that turns into higher revenue, faster progress, and way less stress. So here's the main point. Delegation saves you time so you can do the kind of work that actually grows your business. Need proof? Here are 4 real entrepreneurs mentioned in this book who learned this lesson the hard way. Number 1 is Dean Jackson. This is the guy who eventually coined the phrase, "who not how." Well, he started small. When he first moved to Orlando, he hired a woman named Mandy to clean his condo once a week. And then he thought, what else could she take off my plate? And soon, she was doing laundry, stocking the fridge, basically running his life behind the scenes. and she was happy to make more money, and he was happy not to have to do all those chores. And as his schedule opened up, so did his income. And Dean later found Hoos for tech stuff, admin work, even answering his emails, so that he could focus on his highest value tasks, like product creation, coaching, and coming up with big ideas. And that's how he built multiple seven-figure businesses. Second person is Benjamin Hardy, the co-author of this book. He himself fell into the trap. When he was launching his first book, Willpower Doesn't Work, he handled all the media outreach himself, including booking dozens of podcast interviews. And that drained him. And as a result, he didn't hit his goal of making the book a bestseller. So, for his next book, he hired someone named Connie. He told her, "Get me on 200 podcasts this year." So she booked everything for him, and he just had to show up for the podcast. And that way he could put all his mental energy into just doing the best interview possible. And that worked out so well that the next year, he tripled the goal to 600 podcasts. Now, if he was still trying to do all of it himself, schedule hundreds of interviews, that would be completely impossible. He would have burnt out years ago, and he would have had a fraction of the impact that he does now. Our third example is Wesley Sierk. So, he had a very successful risk management company, but he tried to sell it by himself. And that took 6 months of effort, and in the end, there was no result. And then he decided to hire a professional, an investment banker, who he ended up paying $500,000. But the end result was so much better. He did almost nothing, and he received multiple offers for his business, and he ended up selling it for millions more than he had previously thought. And the deal was done quickly. But even after that experience, he didn't fully learn the lesson. That summer, instead of paying $7,900 for a new air conditioning unit, he climbed onto the roof of his own house to rig a temporary fan. And then he fell off, cracked his skull, and ended up in a coma in the hospital. After a long recovery, he remembered that key lesson, that hiring Hoos doesn't just save us money, sometimes it saves your life. And a fourth example, Carl Castledine. So Carl was grinding nonstop to build his business called Away Resorts. And then he realized they needed a better website, and so he stayed up late at night for months, learning to code it himself. And then one day, he was casually talking to a developer, and he asked what that kind of website would cost to make. And the developer answered, $1,200. Carl was dumbfounded. He thought it'd be 100 times that cost. Later on, he made a similar mistake. He delayed hiring a sales manager for his company for years. Finally, he did it. And that year alone, sales jumped 25%. And he realized he would have been millions of dollars richer if he had delegated sooner. So, this is a lesson most entrepreneurs have to learn time and time again until we get really good at it. Now, I'll connect this to the most recommended book for business owners, which is The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. So, the core idea in that book is to build a business that works not because of you, but without you. And that requires creating systems in your business so that it will deliver the same result to your customers every single time. So the key lesson is that great business owners are not great at any one technical skill like coding a website or baking cookies. What they're really great at is creating systems that other people follow. To learn more about that, check out our growth summary of The E-Myth Revisited. Now let's summarize this lesson. If you're doing everything yourself, you're holding your business back. Your time is too valuable for $10 an hour tasks. Hire whos so you can focus on those higher value tasks, what only you can do. Delegation isn't a cost, it's actually an investment, and the only way you're going to hit 10x results without burning out. Now that brings us to lesson 6, how to network effectively. Approach people with a mindset of giving value, not trying to get something. So let's talk about building business relationships the right way. Most people network like amateurs. They show up trying to get something. They lead with, "What can you do for me?" instead of, "How can I help you?" That's called a transactional mindset. And it doesn't get us very far. If you want to build real relationships, ones that can actually change your life and your business, you need to shift from transactional to transformational. Because the right who isn't just someone who helps you one time. It's someone who can open doors for you, make connections, and sticks with you long term. Now, Joe Polish is a great example of a brilliant networker. He's a super connector, a node in a large network of highly successful business owners. Joe Polish actually runs the Genius Network, which is a high-level group for business owners that costs $25,000 to join. It sounds expensive until you realize that one connection from that room could make you 10 times that much money. So he helped the authors of this book meet each other, and he's helped dozens, if not hundreds, of other entrepreneurs grow, scale, and connect to bigger opportunities through networking. So here are the 3 top rules. Rule number 1 is to be a giver, not a taker. Don't show up with your hand out or trying to make a quick sale or client. Great networkers ask what's in it for them. They do their homework, they give real value, and they keep giving without expecting something back right away. That generosity makes you memorable and magnetic. That's how Joe Polish got Richard Branson's personal email, the founder of the Virgin Companies. So Joe offered value first, based on research, not just flattery. He reached out to Branson at an event and explained how they could use education-based marketing to increase donations to his charity. And that single gesture turned into multiple events together, a long-term relationship, and even trips to Branson's private island. Rule number 2 is you have to like the person. Before you go deeper with someone, check your gut. Dan Sullivan says building the right relationships is like choosing clothes. If someone feels uncomfortable, awkward, or off, don't force it. Your best collaborations will come from people you feel good being around from the start. Rule number 3 is to be the buyer, not the seller. So this one's subtle but powerful. In any relationship, you want to be the buyer, not the desperate seller. You choose who you work with. You set your criteria, and you say no to people who drain you or don't align with your values. That's what Dan Sullivan calls freedom of relationship. The ability to build your network intentionally, not reactively. Here's a great example. Chad Willardson is the founder of Pacific Capital, and he once got approached by a dream prospect, a guy who had just sold his company for $100 million. It was a huge opportunity, could be a game changer for his company. But right away, Chad spotted red flags. The guy was very demanding and didn't respect his team. He was basically telling his team of experts on how to do their job. So it could have been a massive payday, but Chad realized something. This guy didn't want to hire a who, he wanted someone he could boss around. So Chad turned down the client. Was it a hard choice? Absolutely. But it earned him more trust from his team. They saw he was serious about protecting the firm, the culture, and the relationships that actually mattered for them, the ones that would last over the long term. So here's a summary of this lesson. approach networking not with an attitude of what can I get, but with a mindset of what's in it for them. Choose your who's based on who you feel comfortable and trust with, and say no to relationships that don't align with your values. That's not weakness, it's leadership. And that brings us to lesson 7, from isolation to collaboration. How to work with others to go further, faster. School often taught us the wrong lesson. We were usually graded on doing everything alone. Working with others? That was called cheating. But in the real world, that mindset will hold you back. Because the biggest winners don't go solo. They build teams, they ask for help, and they lean into collaboration. They don't focus on how hard they're working personally, they focus on getting the result. Human beings didn't rise to the top of the food chain because we had fangs or speed like other animals. We got here because we know how to communicate and work together. That's our edge and always has been. The new superpower isn't knowing how to do things anymore. With technology and AI advancing so fast, being the person who knows how to do everything is becoming less valuable. What's becoming more important? Being the one who can set a vision, communicate it clearly, make good decisions, and find the right who's, including the tools and tech, to make it happen. The world doesn't reward grinders, it rewards creators. And creators build with others. Step one here is admitting you don't know it all. Henry Ford knew this. When critics said he wasn't that smart, he fired back that, "I don't need to know everything, I just need to push a button and summon the experts who do." That's not weakness, it's leverage. Every great invention, movement, or business has been built by teams, not solo geniuses. Step 2 is to follow the 80% rule. This can be a game changer. You only need to get things 80% done most of the time. Trying to make things 100% perfect? That will take up 10 times more of your time, energy, and momentum, and you will get almost the same results. So get things done to 80% and then pass it on to your next who, and let other people polish your work more, improve it, and turn it into something better than you could have done alone. That's how the Beatles wrote their music. It wasn't John Lennon in a room by himself finishing perfect songs. It was the whole band riffing together, stumbling, testing things out on their instruments and playing until chaos slowly became harmony through collaboration. What's the big lesson here? Share your rough drafts earlier with other people because collaboration makes them better. Step 3 is to ask for help sooner. When Benjamin Hardy, this author, was writing this book, he almost got sick. He felt so stuck and the deadline was coming in fast. But he decided to stop grinding for a minute, and he reached out to Tucker Max, another best-selling author. And that changed everything. Tucker reminded him of what was important. He said, "Dan Sullivan picked you for a reason. This is your book." Then he sat down with Hardy for a few hours and helped him lay out the entire structure of this book. And this gave him clarity, confidence, and momentum. People are willing to help more than you think, says Benjamin Hardy. You just have to let them in. Now, here's another great story to illustrate these ideas of going from competition to co-creation. Karen Nance, an attorney, had been working on a biography about her grandmother, a civil rights icon named Ethel Ray Nance. She'd done years of research, 200 pages written, but she was still not even close to done. Then she got an email from a history professor named Dr. Etheline Whitmire, who was also writing a book on her grandmother. Karen's first reaction was panic. She went into competition mode, thinking, "I have to finish mine first." But then she took a deep breath and thought of a better question. What if we teamed up? And they did. Karen had the story, Dr. Whitmire had the research and structure, she had lots of experience writing biographies and publishing them. Together, they finished the book way faster and better than they could have individually, and with far greater impact. And that's what happens when we switch from isolation to collaboration. And finally, let's talk about the Dan and Babs story. Dan Sullivan, the man behind Who Not How, went through a time of his life that was kind of like hell. Bankruptcy and divorce in the same day. To get out of it, he started journaling daily, asking himself, what do I really want? And a few years later, he met Babs. She ran a massage clinic, but saw huge potential in Dan's coaching strategies that he was developing. At that time, he was doing all the coaching himself. No team, no scale. So they joined forces, becoming both business partners and life partners. Babs brought structure, vision, and helped grow Strategic Coach from a one-man operation into the company it is today with 17 coaches, 100-plus team members, and multiple types of coaching programs, all built on the principle of who, not how. Dan didn't do it alone. He couldn't have, and neither can we. So let's summarize this lesson. Thanks to technology and AI, knowing how isn't as valuable as it used to be. So we must learn to clarify and communicate our vision to make it a reality, and we do that using both whos and tools. Stop thinking you need to know everything, ask for help faster, share your rough drafts sooner, get your work to 80% fast, then let others make your work much better than you could do it alone. Okay, so that's all for this summary, and I'll see you in the next one.